we are going to live on the earth. There is no place in the Bible that tells us we're going to go to heaven, now or at any time. The earth is the focus of all this kingdom. We are the church, and we're going to make up the bride of Christ. Christ's gospel is the only true gospel, and if we look in the Bible, we're going to see Mark 1:1. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. He is simply saying this, that it's necessary to believe the gospel of the kingdom of God to be saved. Now, we're not going into the aspect of the covenant, but I like to emphasize this. We can't preach the gospel of the kingdom of God unless we preach the teaching of the Abrahamic covenant, that everything stems out from that. Our salvation is based upon that covenant. It startles me at times when I hear so little of the preaching of the kingdom of God and the covenant that God made to Abraham. Our early preachers went everywhere preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and they preached the necessity of the covenant that God made with Abraham and our place in it. Our salvation is bound up in that. Remember, Paul said, if we are baptized into Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and we're heirs according to the promise, the very same promise that God gave to Abraham. That is a promise of a kingdom. God never told Adam that if he lived a righteous life, he someday would die and go to heaven. He didn't tell Abraham, now you, in your old days, you'll die and you'll go to heaven. Everything was focused upon the earth. Salvation was wrought here on the earth, and our salvation is going to be given to us here on the earth. Jesus went everywhere preaching the kingdom. He taught it in parables. He sent out 12 apostles. He sent out 70 preaching the same gospel. And the church of God came into existence preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and the things pertaining to Christ and the covenant that God made to Abraham and the other covenants. So let us always remember that, and I hope we as a church never get to the place where these things are pushed aside and we preach other things. There are many things that are necessary to preach, and I'm not against preaching them. But foremost, we should keep in mind what this gospel really is. It's not a gospel about Jesus. It is the gospel of Jesus being a king and the kingdom coming on the earth. Daniel, 600 years before Jesus, knew of the kingdom, and he knew that it was a real, literal kingdom, a government ruling over literal people. Daniel 2:44, he says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom will not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. The second chapter of Daniel, we have that image of these kingdoms. We see four world powers, and the fifth one is the kingdom of God. Like I can't see, and I know most of us can't see any world power rising before the kingdom of God. Daniel said, in these days, in the days in which we're living in, the days of the division of the Roman Empire, God is going to set up a kingdom. Notice he's speaking of the kingdoms that bear rule over the people of the earth. Mark carefully the time element. In our days, these kings or the divided Roman Empire will be ruling in the time when Christ comes. In Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Christ has three offices: prophet, priest, and king. When he was on the earth, he was a prophet. He preached, he taught, he gave prophecy in Matthew 24 and 25. When he was resurrected and ascended into heaven, he's a priest sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for us. And we have a high priest. That's a key of the whole book of Hebrews. We have a great high priest making intercession for us. When he comes again, he's going to be a king. He's going to take over rule of this earth, and he's going to reign from sea to sea. Nicodemus asked Jesus some questions, and Jesus told him that, "Very, very, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In our condition now, we're not born again. We are begotten by the Spirit of God, of the Word, and of the water, our baptism. But the new birth will come when Jesus returns. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God, then, is something that can be seen. But only those who have been born again, changed from mortal to immortality, only those who are born again will see it. What about the church? People say the church is the kingdom. We see the church. We see carnal people in the church. And we see all of us are mortal. We're subject to mistakes. Even times we do things that we ought not to do. But when that time comes, when we're born again, then we will not be able to sin. This mortal put on immortality, this corruption shall put on incorruption. Paul is telling us the very same thing in 1 Corinthians 15:50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." Jesus was born to be a king. In John 18:36-37, he tells us that. He never said that the kingdom was established now. When they wanted to make him king, he refused that, and within a week he was crucified. The disciples thought maybe the kingdom was right now, maybe it was coming now. They kept looking. The Jews knew the gospel of the kingdom from the Old Testament. And they were looking for a king to come and deliver them from the Roman bondage that they were under. And they thought, now Jesus has come and he's going to redeem us. But he said in Luke 19:12, "A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and a return." Christ is that nobleman. The far country is heaven, and he is to return in his second coming. This thought was uppermost in their minds after the resurrection. For you remember when Jesus met with the disciples after his resurrection, you'll find it in the first chapter of Acts, they said, "Now at this time are you going to restore the kingdom? And he said, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and this is important, you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. On in the 15th chapter of Acts, Peter was saying that God at this time is calling out a people for his name, and when that is completed, then Jesus will return and restore the house of David, and the residue of men shall call upon the name of the Lord. He also said, Peter said in Acts 3:21, and he shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached to you, whom the heavens must retain until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Not only is Christ to reign on the earth, but the saints are to reign with him. Those who have been converted, those who have been begotten by the sons, begotten sons of God, and those who have held true to the end, they're the ones that are going to be saved. They're the ones who are going to rule with Christ on this earth. Revelation 3:21 falls right in line with this. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Now you'll notice there are two thrones. The Father's throne, which is in heaven. Jesus is in heaven and sitting at the right hand of the Father in the Father's throne. But he said that if you overcome, you will sit down with my Father in his throne, even as I also overcame. He said, I will grant you to sit with me in my throne. Not the Father's throne, which is in heaven, but the Son's throne. And we find from the scriptures, especially in Luke, that Jesus is going to come and he's going to receive the throne of his father David. And that throne is in Jerusalem. And he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. The word of the Lord is going to go out from Jerusalem. And it's going to be a glorious time. Some of these songs we were singing, it tells us about that time. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more pain. There will be no more war. Do you know that after the First World War, there hasn't been a time when there hasn't been a conflict somewhere in this world? Small wars or big wars, Second World War was a large one. But peace is not on the earth. Men are trying all their best to bring peace. But every time they make even if they sign treaties, they're only signed and for the time the people are together, and then they go back and break them. No peace can come until the King of Peace comes. When we know this, and we do know it, it helps us to understand all these things that are coming about, and we're not to keep our eyes on them, but let us keep our eyes on Christ, and let us remember the kingdom of God is coming. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. No man knows the day or the hour. And anybody that sets a date and says, well, Jesus is going to come, are really foolish people, because we don't know. These two men were telling me that one of the upheavals and the Jehovah's Witnesses, and it caused a lot of people to leave, was that they had set a date for 1975 that the kingdom would be established on this earth. In 1975, well, 75's gone. And that didn't happen. And it startled a lot of people then, were shaken in their faith. But if we follow the word of God, we'll not be taken up with what these people say. Of what day or hour, we don't know. God knows, and when that time comes, it will happen. We can know the times, and can know the seasons. And if we are watching the television, reading our newspapers, listening to our radios, we're hearing a lot of things. And so much right now is concentrated in the Middle East. And that's where Jesus is going to come back. And the Jews then will be liberated, and they will be free. But one thing that we must do, I always remember Brother Lloyd Jones saying, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There's a blessing. Let us not forget these people. They are God's people. And God has set them aside for a time until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And that is the gathering of the church that Peter was telling about. When that is finished, when the last one is called and Jesus comes and receives us, then the blinded eyes of Israel is going to be opened and they're going to turn to the Lord. The question that we need to ask ourselves, many of us have settled it, are we ready? Have we repented? Have we believed the gospel? Have we been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins? And are we pressing on, looking forward to that day when Jesus will come and the kingdom will be here on this earth?